Ramble.
Watching a lot of TV in quarantine, and one of the shows that we have been watching, Grey's Anatomy. Watch a lot of Grey's Anatomy, watch a lot of House. So I thought, we got a real nurse right here. We should ask her our fake doctor questions, because the doctors on TV make it look really easy
and glamorous.
And glamorous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a lot of time for sex.
Yeah.
In closets.
It's actually
like in the room where they take a break. The break room.
The break room. And like stairwells. Like,
the
are not sexy. Not sexy.
Isn't the break
rooms not sexy?
Shared.
It's very shared. Yes. There's always like gifted donuts or cookies from families that are like half eaten, and like water bottles around, and like people's belongings, and like papers. And it's just not. It's not really conducive to sexy time, you know? No.
I imagine.
There's a bunch of people that take care of sick people that come and sit in these break rooms. Like, there are germs up the yin-yang. I don't think, no.
It is interesting to think about, like, now that you, do you guys do this where you'll be watching something that was made maybe 2 years ago, and you're like, they're not wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but my favorite early pandemic meme on the internet was, if Meredith Grey can flirt with her mask on for 15 hours at a time during a surgery, so can you.
That's
wear your
true.
Mask.
That is true.
Very true.
Flirt with your eyes.
Flirt
with your eyes.
And that first episode of Grey's Anatomy is all about that love connection.
Oh my gosh.
Between Derek and Meredith.
Which he was Derek. Just
Derek
McDreamy.
Was McDreamy.
He's Patrick Dempsey.
Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hottie Bobadi.
Yeah.
McDreamy.
He looks really nice in that first episode.
Yes, he does. That was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
His
yeah.
eyes look very young.
Yeah.
So for fake doctor, real nurse, you know, I'm watching this show as a mass consumer of pop culture, as the resident pop culture historian.
Yes, yes.
But
expert.
You're watching it as a nurse,
yeah.
seeing parts of your everyday life.
Yeah.
So I think there's some really striking differences maybe when I'm watching it than when you're watching
it. Oh, for sure.
So the first thing that always gets me on doctor shows, and in this specific episode of Grey's Anatomy, a young girl has a seizure at one point. So when I see that, sometimes it makes me giggle because I'm like, that's an actor. That's an actor. That girl went to Juilliard. She went to Tisch. And now she's got two lines and she's like writhing on a bed.
And like kicking her
and
legs
like kicking,
up. And-
yeah. Was it super realistic to what you've seen? Like, how'd she do? Did she do a good job or was it bad?
I think coming down from like the helipad and stuff, she did a good job on that one. When she like later on in the episode has like another big seizure, there's different types of seizures, of course.
Yes.
There's like people like do lip smacking and that's considered a seizure. But the seizure that she was having, she's like kicking her legs up and down.
A grand mal, if
yeah,
I
she
remember
was having
correctly.
A grand mal. And like, I'm not here to shit on people's acting, but that one was like, okay. I mean,
you think she should have rehearsed a little longer?
I mean, it's hard to full on mock having a seizure. Like, it hurts.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. And I don't think she's not, it's not mocking. She's not acting.
Yeah.
She has
yeah.
to portray it.
Yeah.
Do you think that she went into the audition room
and had to talk to them?
1,000%.
Show me your best seizure.
Show us your seizure. Give us your seizure face.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you guys ever done an audition?
No.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
What do they make you do?
It's like an interview, but where you memorize the answers.
Sounds easy.
That's it.
They always, I've been on both sides of it. I've casted things. Mm-hmm. I've auditioned for things. And they give you direction. And then they're like, oh, okay, after you do it. And you're like, did I take it or did I not?
They don't say good?
No, of course not. They always say, okay, thank you. We'll let you know.
Oh, my gosh. That would rip me apart.
I feel like
I need
never.
Feedback. As I'm doing it, smile at me.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
Laugh.
Sometimes they don't even like smile or even like, there's very little like introductions.
There are so many people in the room.
Yeah.
Oh, that's more defined.
I interned at a casting studio once and it was like a seedy place.
Wow. So this girl had the best seizure in her audition.
Yeah. Or probably. Like, I don't know, our uncle works on the show somewhere. Yeah, yeah, you never know.
It's the pilot. I bet they cast that.
But this pilot's like very well known. I think it got like a lot of viewership.
It's a good pilot.
Yeah. They pilots are hard. You have to introduce I don't think it's the same for like hour longs, but for like 30-minute long comedies, you have to introduce like a majority of characters and like figure out where the plot's going. Like that's kind of hard work to like set up.
Is Grey's Anatomy, is that like a procedural where something happens every episode? Or is it more like one of those where there's like longer storylines that happen throughout?
So it's a procedural, but there'll be like overarching. So if you think of the timeline, like every episode has a case or two cases, you know, because there are multiple doctors. But while those episodes are going on, there's love. There's family illness, family drama. Mm-hmm. People are dying left and right.
Friendships.
Every episode has a plot line that will make you bawl your eyes out.
Yeah. Yes.
And just so everyone knows on my reactions, I only watched up to season 3. So I am like reacting just as like a person who has seen it basically like for the first time. I started watching Grey's Anatomy when I was in nursing school and I loved it. And then someone spoiled it for me.
What'd they do?
They gave me like one of like the season finale at the time spoiler, and I was so upset. I remember like commenting on like the Facebook thread. I'm like, how dare you post this? Like, you need to warn people.
Do you think it was 007 Miles?
Yeah. I was so mad. And then I like stopped watching it too, because it was just like a lot of like nursing school plus like class plus clinical plus going home and watching more medical stuff. It was just overkill. Yeah. But watching the first episode, Becky was like, we're going to talk about this on the podcast. So like rewatch it. I was like, ooh, I would definitely watch this in quarantine again. This is like really good. But how many seasons are there? Like 15?
They're on like season 16.
Yeah. Oh, it's still going? It's current?
And is it still Meredith?
Yeah. She's still on
and
it.
And Patrick Dempsey?
No spoilers, but
is Sandra
longer on the show?
Is he?
Oh, no, I only made it to like season 6 or what. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not a long hauler.
Yeah. I haven't seen the new season. I don't think Sandra O's on it anymore because she's doing Killing Eve. No spoiler. No spoilers.
What about the girl that was in
Catherine Heigl?
Yes, like 27 or something.
No, Catherine Heigl got like removed from a bunch of stuff. There was some drama.
What happened?
I can't remember.
Was this like season 2?
Becky, what happened? Tell me.
Catherine Heigl said some racist shit.
No, that was Isaiah Washington.
No, is this the thing about the LVAD wires?
What are we talking about right now?
Miles and I are giggling because we're trying not to tell you big spoilers for main characters.
I'm pretty sure your giggles mean that everyone we've just mentioned dies.
It dies, absolutely.
Okay. That show wants you to cry a lot.
Just know that none of us have the time to watch 15 seasons of Grey's Anatomy. So, all right, everybody out there, spoiler alert.
There's listeners.
What happened to Catherine Heigl?
Need to stop listening for 10 minutes.
Close your ears. Isaiah Washington was kicked off the show because he... said a homophobic slur to another cast member.
Wow.
Yeah. So there were a lot of like, I feel like medical terms are always thrown out. Like they're like, it's a grand mal seizure. But you hear that all the time. How accurate was it? Like, was what was happening a grand mal seizure?
Yeah. I mean, usually we'll call it like a tonic clonic. Is this plant still eating my hair?
What?
A tonic-clonic seizure. So there's different types of seizures, and you'll classify them based on, like, how they're presenting. So there's, like, focal seizures versus, like, there's things called absence seizures, and then people with seizure disorders will sometimes just, like, stare off into space, and those are kind of harder to identify, or they'll, like, lip smack, and it'll be, like, 3 seconds. That's a seizure. And usually you wouldn't know that until, like, they had, like, seizure monitors on and stuff like that.
Whoa. So what is a seizure? It's something that goes on in your brain.
Yeah. It's just, depending on, like, where it's happening in the brain, sometimes you can track it down with the video EEG monitor. But that's, like, that's really big and complicated. And, they sometimes do like surgical surgeries based on like where it's happening in the brain and if it's like an area that is able to be manipulated safely, if they're still having like a lot of like seizure activity that isn't able to be medically managed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So is it like blood that gets trapped there, or
it's just like
it just is what
activity.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like so in
it's
your
like
neurons.
A chemical reaction that's not supposed to be happening.
Yeah.
And so Maggie's like, you guys understand nothing, but
we're all like,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so some people have seizure disorders where they just have a chemical reaction that
And then some people have like fever related seizures.
Right.
Like
it could be related
that's
to
really
something
common
else
in children.
That's
like if they have a really high fever, then they'll start seizing or.
Oh, that sounds so scary.
Yeah.
There was a part on the show where Dr. Burke had the intern doing like an appendectomy. And then he like waited because he wanted the younger doctor to do it. But the guy's like his heart rate's starting to go down.
Yeah, he was like. Things just happen so quickly in that show. Like you are introduced to these residents. And by the way, when like doctors graduate medical school, they start their residency. And like within day one, they're like running to a helipad. And first of all, like I don't think interns are responsible unless like there's different departments that are responsible for triaging each patient. Like usually surgeons will stay in the OR, and if they're following patients, they'll go downstairs and like check on them. But they're not doing like all the things that these interns are doing, like pushing beds around, going to procedures. Meredith was on like seven different floors. I'm like, where is this woman? Like, there is no structure. It's definitely glamorized. And like, it is like working in the hospital, it is very fast paced, but not to the point where you're expected to be in like eight areas at once.
Wow.
Yeah. It was, and like, even knowing, like, I remember my first day as a nurse on the floor. How are you expected to know where, like, supplies and things are? Like, these doctors didn't even get, like, a full orientation. They're just, like, in a locker room, and they're like, this is your person you're assigned to. And Dr. Bailey?
Dr. Bailey, yeah.
She's assigned to these six of them or whatever. She's like, don't come to me unless the patient's dying. Like, that is not how culture is in the hospital. Like, we want you to ask questions.
That's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
No, like, that's not how your superior should be. And if they are, then that's a problem. So.
And Karev was really mean about the nurses. Is that true or is that fake?
There are mean doctors and there are mean nurses. Like, but. It is like a collaboration, and it takes a village to take care of like an entire medical thing going on with somebody and their family. So it should be thought of as like a collaborative effort.
Yeah.
But there are like certain doctors, cough surgeons, that don't treat nurses. At least at my hospital.
And that's what they are, surgical residents on Grey's Anatomy.
I think it's just because surgical residents don't stay on the floor with the patients. Usually they're usually in surgery, and that's why the reputation that they do have is kind of hard to get a hold of, is because they're performing surgery and you're like paging them and you're waiting like longer than usual because the doctors that are stationed on the floor like see what the nurses are doing. So I think it's just an understanding of what people's roles are. And if someone doesn't understand, like if you're just known for being absent, both nursing and surgical wise, then you're just going to have like you're going to conflict. But yeah, Karev said like some mean
things.
He was so mean.
He said it so loud.
What did he say?
He was like, he like made fun of one of the other doctors and called her like a nurse, like a white hat or something like that.
And we were like, and like these, okay, for what the show is, like these are this is the intern's first day at the hospital. Yeah. You don't think nurses that have been working on this floor for years know what is going on with the patients, know how to treat, know how to take care of, or like what may be wrong or what like the attending doctor will do. Like they've worked with these attendings for so long. So it just drives me crazy. Like when I hear comments like that about nurses, I'm like, we sometimes know, like, so I've had interns before that, like, they start in July. So in July, like, everyone knows that we're going to get, like, a new batch. But, like, we've had very sweet interns that know and, like, will lean on us to, like, for guidance. Like, oh, what does this mean? What does this mean? And we're all really helpful. So, like, for it to be shown like that on TV is just very, I think it's harmful.
So your first day as an intern, you are the lowest of the low.
You don't know what's going on. Right? You don't even know how to use the computer yet.
You're like fresh out of med school.
You're fresh out of med school. You're trying to learn like a new health system because every place you go, like somewhere, like something if you different. Went to like Cedar Sinai and then you went to like Huntington Hospital out here, they're completely like the way they do things and they're like certain things will follow the same guidelines, but they have their own like workflows. So you kind of have to learn that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That is some tea.
Yeah.
Maggie, will you tell me about the beepers?
Oh, they're pagers.
Paged left and right.
I mean, that
and
is
I
true.
I want to know what it says.
That is true.
Also, how do you
why
know where
do you
to
still
go?
Have pagers?
Yeah, pagers.
Why don't
are,
I just text?
I, you know, that is like a good point. The hospitals vary. Like some hospitals I know in the LA area have iPhones and they can like page back and forth. Beepers are just a little bit quicker, I think, because even though like some of our residents will hold phones, but they won't get the alert when they get texted. I think it's just we need funding and stuff to update that system all around. But
what do the beepers say? So let's say I'm in room 104. I am having my grand mal seizure. The doctor comes in, Meredith. Yes. She's like, I got to get a hold of McDreamy. So she then pages. How does she page it?
So you will usually.
How do you do it?
It just spells out 8008.
Yeah.
So usually,
like, what is it?
Usually, there's like a website you can visit, like in the hospital, and you like fill out your name and you fill out your return number and you put regarding patient Rebecca Miller. Patient is having seizure. Please come. Or if you know where the doctor is sitting, you'll run over to the room and be like, "Hey, this person's having this." Yeah. But usually, like seizures, and like if it's a person here, I mean, her situation that she had a subarachnoid bleed, and so that was like very
subarachnoid. That sounds
so it was in her
like
brain.
I was like, we all know what that means.
A subarachnoid bleed. So it was under her
sub
spider.
Means under.
Sub under arachnid meaning spider.
Bleed. She had an under spider bleed.
It just tells you a specific place in the brain where the bleed is coming from, and they didn't see it on imaging, or they did, or they didn't think to work it up.
Meredith froze.
Yeah,
but she froze.
She's like, I don't remember.
I know
this.
Where it is
from school.
Yeah.
So the number will just pop up on the beeper.
It'll be at the beeper, and you'll see like the patient name and number, and then it's up to the doctors. Like sometimes the doctors are in the middle of doing things, so like they'll call back right away, or they won't. But beepers get paged all the time because little things happen. Like we try and like cluster, but I've had to page doctors for like simple things like you wrote the order incorrectly. Can you please write it this way? Or can you please clarify this? Like someone will write an order or they'll write it wrong or things are you just need to clarify things with a doctor. You can't just like look at an order and just assume that it is what it is. Like you really have to double check. And that's kind of how. Yeah. Medical mistakes are
But if someone's having a seizure, don't you need someone to come faster than like the time it takes to write out and then page
them? I mean,
hers
was like a, she wasn't diagnosed with a seizure disorder, but a lot of the times when kids are, at least this is my experience, when kids are being seen in the hospital for seizure disorder and we know that they're having seizures and we're trying to figure out why and we've like ruled out that there's no bleed or something like that, it's not like a life or death situation. Mm. And it's like I noticed in the show, it's just very like, oh my God, get in the room, we're pushing epi, this and that. Like when people have seizures, you kind of try and stay calm, you like put them on their mm-hmm. side. Mm-hmm. Like when codes are happening, you try and make sure the roles are very clear and there's like an open line of communication. People should not be screaming. It only works up the family more and it works you up more. So it's just mm-hmm. It's very calm, and the people who are usually running the code have done it before. So even if you feel like you're not understanding of what's going on, like there's enough people in there to get supplies and
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Wow. There's a lot less screaming.
There's
in
a
real
lot
life.
Less screaming.
It's not
seizures are
Dr.
not
Gray,
life and
what
death.
What do we do? Right.
If you see someone in public having a seizure, you just make sure their head is nice, mm-hmm. but don't hold them down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure they don't fall and hit their head.
Right.
Yeah.
You want to make sure they don't hurt themselves.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. it will pass.
Yeah. It will pass. But like with her situation, they had to give her medications and stuff because there is like a, if this person has more than 3 seizures in like 10 minutes or 5 minutes, then it's like a problem. Or if the seizure is greater than 5 minutes, it could potentially do harm. So that's another thing. So yeah, you want to let someone know that they had a seizure, but if they come out of it, then great.
Awesome. But you usually, did really good.
That but was usually a great it's like you just looking had. At the clock, throwing on some oxygen, staying calm, letting mm-hmm. the people know what's going on, letting the doctor know. Yeah.
I want Maggie to be my nurse.
Oh my gosh, I know. I forever want Maggie to be my
nurse.
Doing
great. You're doing great.
Because nothing's worse than like if I was a sick patient in the hospital and my nurse was like running in and out of my room, like, what's wrong? Am I fine? Is everything okay?
Yeah, you would
like,
think
what's
you're
going
dying.
On? Am I dying?
Am
yeah.
I dying?
Nothing's worse than like a panicked person taking care of you. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
actually, calm. I mean, mm-hmm. the only time I've ever actually been in a hospital bed was for labor.
Yeah.
And those nurses are heroes.
Mm.
I swear, like, I was like, give me the epidural. Mm. And they were like, you don't need it, honey.
Oh my God.
You've got 30 minutes. Just keep going. And I was like, all right. Thank you.
I would have been like, hell no. Oh my gosh. These 30 minutes better.
Oh my gosh. L&D is its own, like, beast. I know.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Wait, what does that mean?
Oh, labor and delivery.
Labor and delivery. Like,
yeah. She said a word.
I thought you said Ellen Diaz, which sounds like an actress's name.
Ellen Diaz.
And I looked right at Becky. I was like, excuse me, who?
Excuse me. A minute I thought she was going to say Ellen Pompeo, which is like Meredith. And then I was like, she didn't say Ellen Pompeo.
Yeah.
These doctors on Grey's, it was their first day as residents, and their shift was 48 hours long.
That's why they have to have sex at work. They have no time.
Guys. Got to pencil in some me time.
Do they like pencil in like, okay, it's been hour 12. I should sleep now. It's a new day. Now you would do this. Like,
Who are these people, though, who can work for like 24 hours straight and still have a libido?
Yeah.
True.
Good question.
Like when I work long days, I'm like, don't touch me, I'm going to bed. You know?
Yes, agreed.
No, but it's just I was thinking about that while I was watching. I was like, 48 hour shift, that's so long. Like I understand that there needs to be continuity of care, which is like the person following the patients and like know what's going on, because like sometimes with handoff, like if it changes so much, like even if like the same nurse is back, they try and give it to the same patient just so like the flow is going and it's not that first day where you're getting to know who you're taking care of and there's less mistakes and like it's better for patient outcomes. But especially like a healthcare related role, like we know that sleep is important. Like why are there 48 hours? Why do 48 hour shifts exist? That's terrible.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound safe at all.
Yeah. I think it just depends on the hospital.
Well, you used to work the night shift.
Yeah. I worked night shift for 3.5 years.
I remember when I met you, I was like, you are, I can't fathom.
It was hard. I know there's people that do it for their entire careers and it just works for them, especially a lot of the mothers do because they can be, especially with like younger kids, like they'll go home and be able to take their kid to school, go to sleep, wake up, pick their kid up and like only have slept like 4 hours. Yeah.
But all like the time? How does
it's,
that?
It's 3 days a week.
Okay.
So they would kind of cluster. Okay. Or they would, a lot of the time with night shift, you would just pack them all at once because like having to correct your schedule in the beginning of the week, having one day off of like regular hours and then like having to self-correct, it takes a lot on you. And I think it was because I was newly graduated. I was single. Like I just had, I lived, like I didn't live alone, but I had like my own room. And like before I was sharing a room. So like it just made sense. And I was still paying off college college tuition. And you get paid like maybe like $6 more an hour, $5 more an hour for working. Which is good. Yeah. So I like would pool all that money just to go to my loans. And that's why I did it. And it, I thought that for the longest time, like I'm a night shift person. Like I'll be night shift forever.
And now that you're day shift?
Wow. Now I'm day shift. I'm like, I don't know how I did night shift for so long. Yeah.
No clue. Yeah. I used to go and find you on Find My Friends.
To make sure I was like alive.
I would be like, okay, it's 7 a.m. and click on my phone. I'd be like, okay, Maggie's at home. Don't text her.
She's sleeping.
Or then I'd see she was sleeping. At the hospital. I'd be like, I can text her. She's going to be driving home soon.
But yeah, it was tough. My mom like insisted on letting me allow her to have me on Find Friends because she'd be calling me a lot of the time while like in the middle of the day and I just wouldn't be answering. She's like, I don't know if you're okay. Like, I don't know if you're sleeping.
Yeah.
And I lived alone and like not with anybody. So she's like, you need to let me follow you. And I was like, okay, fine. So now she's still following me till this day. And she's like, where are you going?
She's like, it's 2 a.m. in L.A. Is Maggie at the bar? Yeah. Is Maggie at home?
Or like my sister, she follows my sister too. And my sister will come and like drop stuff off or like come and have dinner with us. She's like, I saw Ivana was over. What are you guys doing without me?
I only follow 3 people on Find My Friends. And I mean, Ned, my sister, and Matt. I don't know how I got Matt. I don't know how that happened.
We follow each other.
Yeah, I should follow you.
Yeah,
let us follow.
I'll be like, "Where's Maggie? Maggie's at work. Becky's at home."
I definitely got more entertainment from that app long before the pandemic, but now it's just like, "Oh, they're home."
Okay,
okay.
I remember once Keith and I were walking into a store, and Maggie texted me, and she's like, "What you doing?" And I'm like, "Oh, so funny you texted me. I'm right by our house." And I was like, oh, we're walking to, like, you know, the store. And she was like, I saw. She's like, I see you. I knew you were there.
No, one time I was getting,
are
like,
coming over.
Yeah. I was at, like, Marugame Udon. And, like, Matt and Eugene were, like, around the corner. Oh. And they were like, we saw you around the corner. Like, let's have dinner together.
Wait, don't you have to open the app in order to, like, see where people are? I think that
they were meeting up with another friend, our other friend, David. And like they looked, because David's like, I'm on my way. And he like looked at his phone. He's like, no, he's not. And then he's like, oh, but Maggie and Zach are like down the street. Let's go say hi to them.
That's so funny. That's
fun. Yeah. But it's a good app.
It's great. I mean, love for like friends. For like when Ned's shooting late. And actually, I used it the other day when they were shooting downtown. Mm-hmm. And I was like, OK, when is he going to be home? Is he going to be home in 20 minutes or is he going to be home in an hour?
Yeah.
You know, is he still shooting, basically? Right. Mm-hmm. And so I looked, and he's still shooting. And I was like, I'm eating dinner.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and have dinner.
Yeah.
We actually figure, like, we know when one of us have like left our phone downstairs or like left it like at a restaurant. Like I actually got my phone stolen hiking once, and Zach was, I was like, pull up Find Friend, like I can't find my phone. He's like, I'm sure it's in the backpack. I was like, pull up your phone. He's like, oh, actually it's like on the 405 now.
Wait, how did you get
stolen hiking?
So I was like adjusting Bowie's backpack, and I had put the phone down like on a bench, and it was I think it was Griffith Park.
Oh my
god. And I was adjusting his backpack and like tightening in it and stuff, grabbed my water bottle, grabbed him and walked away. But I remember, like, I grabbed everything, but for some reason, someone snatched my phone while I was doing all that.
Wow.
And we were, like, at a top peak. I was so mad, and you could just see the phone moving and moving and moving.
It's in a car.
It's in a car. I was so mad.
You're getting sold on the black market.
Losing
I'm
everything.
Losing things.
And this was at the time where I had my license on my phone.
No.
In the little slip, like the, you can like keep your debit card and your license. So I lost everything. Like I had to get a new credit card, had to get a new license, had to get a new phone. It was bad.
Okay, well, guys, that's going to kind of sum up fake doctor, real nurse for this week. If you guys have any doctor shows or medical related shows that you want us to watch and react to, let us know in the comments.
I would like to do House next.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that one has so much just jargon.
Yeah. So much. Mm-hmm. It's always paraneoplastic syndrome. And Cushing's.
And Cushing's.
I asked her once, I was like, what's Cushing's? I was like, every episode House is like, it's Cushing's.
And I'm also, like, do House a lot of people have Cushing's? He's a real jerk. Like, does that?
I feel like a lot of his humor, like, won't fly now, right?
No, it doesn't. So Keith and I are rewatching it. And,
really?
No, no, no. The show could not be made right now.
I'm just imagining, like, there has to be people out there who, you know, if you're working with a real jerk doctor, like, that doctor isn't going to get another job, you know, like people are going to complain.
You know,
there's
they
gonna
try
be sexual harassment.
They try with House.
Like, I just don't see how people that are that mean. I mean, I get that he's like a genius or whatever, but like,
Vicodin addiction.
The people are people oh that are God. That mean can like be so successful.
I think that's a can of worms.
Yeah,
I wish that weren't true.
Yeah, I know. We're going to move on. We've got some, we actually had one very fun question that I came across today where somebody was asking us to do a deep dive into our favorite TV shows from the 90s and 2000s. Ooh. Emily, shout out to Emily. the title of this is 80s, 90s, 00s. I call that 2000s. That's, yeah, 80s, 90s, aughts. Movie and TV hits faves. Freddie Prinze Jr.? Question mark?
That's the title of the email?
Yes it is.
Emily, excellent email title.
Yeah, if you want us to open your emails, mention Freddie Prinze Jr., guys.
With an
With an Now we're going to get millions of them. okay, so Emily says, hey guys, podcast on fave movies, TV shows from the 80s, 90s, aughts. I binged Sabrina the Teenage Witch, not the Netflix one, over quarantine, and I'm dying for a podcast deep dive, especially because looking back, it seemed very modern and forward for its time. Okay, well, I'll start.
Yeah.
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh, so scary.
So good. I was a latchkey kid. As many were in the 90s.
What does that mean?
Okay, latchkey. Yes. Becky over here.
I know what that was a latchkey kid too.
Okay, latchkey kid is basically when you, I don't know if I'm sure there's a definition out there somewhere that we could look up, but from my understanding of it is when you come home from school, you take the bus home from school. You don't have to take the bus home from school, but many did. Mm-hmm. And you have a key to your house. Mm-hmm. You open up your house. Nobody's home.
Yeah. Oh, you mean TV babysitter?
TV babysitter. Uh-huh. Yeah. For
TV
sure.
babysitter sometimes.
Yeah, latchkey kid.
You came home and you were on your own in your house till your parents got home from work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because you got home at like 3 and your parents got home
like
at like
late
6.
Elementary school, middle school.
Middle school, yeah, okay. For sure.
That makes sense.
High school.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, this was definitely, I would say, early middle school. I would get home. I'd have a snack. And it would, and I think at 4 p.m., Are You Afraid of the Dark would come on. Mm-hmm. And I would sit down. We always, like, we had couches, as people do, but I would sit down on the floor in front of the television and watch Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah.
Like, that's just what I did as a child. And I think I would spread my homework around me.
Oh, my gosh. Did you watch the reboot that came out?
No, I didn't. I
really
got
it, though.
Is it good?
Yeah, we bought it. You can borrow our.
Oh.
It was like $10.
You
like,
had to
let's
buy
do it?
It.
It's so good. They like clearly saw that Stranger Things does really well. So the show itself has like that same weird mysticism that it had, but it's like really talented child actors.
Mm.
Cool. Yeah, it's really good. It's like a 4-hour endeavor.
I remember it being so scary. Is so it scary?
The new one that came out, because it was just like a limited series, I didn't find that scary because I remember like, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Like the Nosferatu episode. Like I remember like, I wasn't religious, but I like hung a cross in my room. I was like, the vampires. Oh my God, they're going to come for me. It wasn't as spooky, I didn't think.
Okay.
It was more the fantastical element that they kept.
But Are You Afraid of the Dark? That was just like, it was scary fun.
Yeah,
it was
like scary, goosebumps.
It was kids scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, Goosebumps.
Bumps was good.
That was good
stuff. That was also spooky. I could never watch the one about the mask. I hated that one. She got this mask stuck on her face and she couldn't get it off.
Awful.
That one like gave me nightmares. Yeah. And the ventriloquist doll. I hate dolls and puppets.
I think I hated all of these.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can we talk about that a little bit? Because doesn't Keith have like a minor in puppetry?
No. He's made puppets. But he did have some. He used to do this like
ventriloquist,
yeah, with this wizard. And the wizard would yell and do other things.
Was he good at it?
Some sick things.
What is it called? Some sick things.
Was he good at like
perverted like wizard?
Ventriloquisting? Oh,
yeah. Ventriloquism?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, we would just scream out of the puppet. But I don't like puppets. We had some in our house and they had to be like in a bucket. Because I hate We had these little old lady and man dolls at my house when I was little that like, I think my grandma got my mom and they freaked me out so much that I would turn them around. And then my family's a bunch of pranksters. So like, instead of leaving them turned around, my dad would be like, let's move it in front of Becky's bed.
Oh my gosh.
So I just wake up and these old people would be staring at me and I was like, they found me.
And that's so scary.
You would hate my grandmother. Her hobby, for a good period of time, like 20 years maybe, from when I was like a kid to high school, was making dolls.
Whoa.
She had like a little kiln where she would make their faces. And then she would make all their clothes. And she would make little beaded purses for them. her house was just full of these dolls, like these handmade, hand painted dolls, like the creepiest ones you could possibly think of. Yeah. You know, and they all had like
they look like Annabelle.
They all had like Victorian costumes and
They're gonna get Becky.
I mean they were beautiful, beautiful. Like these are clearly gonna be heirlooms later because, you know, they're like handmade. And like, you know, all the clothes, it's like silk and taffeta and all this kind of stuff. Like she is very talented.
You have to do a lot for that, right? Because it's like you're making the doll, you're making the clothes, you're making the accessories.
Yeah. Making the shoes. I mean, like, that's like leather work and all sorts of crazy stuff. But yeah, I mean, she didn't sell them. She just kept them.
So she has lots.
She has lots.
That's extra scary.
She has lots. Okay, next time I go visit my grandmother, I will take some pictures for you and they will haunt your dreams, I swear. But I mean, they're lovely, and now I, you know, just sort of equate that with like, you know, it's just a funny thing that my grandmother did, but
a cool skill.
They were creepy, and they didn't have a guest room in their house, so we slept in the living room and all the dolls.
Scary.
Yep
I feel like they would be expensive if you sold them. Very. I like volunteered at like a nursing home before in nursing school. And there was like a woman with Alzheimer's who loved carrying around her baby doll. And it like was the same weight as like a baby. And it was like hand painted.
Wow.
And like the owner told me that someone had donated to her, but it was like thousands and thousands of dollars. Because like even when it was like wrapped in a blanket, I think it's like weighted because it's kind of like almost like a weighted blanket.
Because there's like
it was wrapped and it looked like a newborn. I was like, whose baby is that? And
the more
like,
realistic like the doll, the scarier.
I know, it was kind of spooky, but
well, those like
it helped.
Sure, those old Victorian dolls.
Yay!
Those old Victorian dolls. I mean, they're like. They can be very realistic, but they're heavy.
Yeah. Because
they're not plastic. They're like ceramic or wood.
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh.
Yeah. So Mags, not that I don't want to keep talking about dolls, because it's spooky. What's your favorite show from the 90s and 2000s?
My favorite. I don't think I had like an all-time favorite, but I was very much of the like all that Kenan and Kel.
Oh my gosh.
Loved Lizzie McGuire, loved Boy Meets World. That was very my Yeah, my childhood.
Pete and Pete
was funny.
So good. Keith loved Pete and Pete.
Me and Miles are like the same age. We're like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I was the tail end of like the Pete and Pete salute Pete your shorts like, era. Salute
your shorts.
Yeah. Like that funny, Camp culty, candy. Yeah.
Pete had this like tattoo that was a little mermaid. Mm-hmm. Oh. Like a sexy mermaid that
This kind of was like ringing a bell, but a maybe I have to like guy. Google it up. I'm sure it sounds familiar, but I don't know.
Ringing a bell, like
Danny Tamborelli.
Saved by the Bell.
Oh. I never really. Buffy.
I really loved Buffy. Mm-hmm. Buffy
like how good. Much? You're saying that like
so
you were.
So much. I watched it every day. I've probably seen all of Buffy twice.
Team Spike or Team Angel?
I think I was Team Angel when I was young.
Oh, hot take. No, it's a good take.
I mean.
I think that's generally regarded as.
I think I just wanted to be her. You know, when you're little, you're just like, I want to be as cool as she is. She can fight vampires and be witty at the same time.
I like the redhead.
Willow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's the actress's name?
Allison.
Yeah.
Hannigan.
Uh-huh. Not the one that got sucked into the cult.
No, that's Allison Mack. We're watching The Vow right now.
Yes, watching The Vow.
Did you watch it last night?
Yes. That wasn't in the podcast.
That was not in the podcast.
That wasn't in the podcast.
Oh my
gosh. Yes, there's to watch.
You have to watch it. If you listen to the podcast about it, you have to watch the show because there's so much.
I found the first episode so boring.
Keep going, Ariel. Keep going. Keep going.
All right.
Or just watch episode 4. You know everything that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. So four is when shit hits the fan.
Okay, so what's up with India's mom not reacting at all? Is she just like so Prozac'd out that she has no emotions left for her daughter who's deeply stolen into this cult?
I don't know. I mean, yeah.
The whole episode, I was just like, what is happening here?
I've never had my child join a cult.
But you would think it would bring up some emotions for you.
Yeah. I mean, she's an actress. She was on Dallas.
Yeah,
according to the show. So maybe she was trying to like keep it in so that she didn't seem very like scared, because obviously you'd be scared.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's dark.
Quick cult watch on Becky.
Do we have a what?
Quick cult watch.
Becky,
who's trying to join their cult? Of like how much you might join this cult?
Oh, Nexium, I would have been in. 100%. I would have gotten up to the branding and I would have been like, Fuck no. That would be like my hard line. I'd be like, I'm not getting cauterized today. Painful.
But you'd be sitting in the group of women naked being like, oh, my sisters.
Not that. No. I wouldn't have even gotten in the car. Okay. I wouldn't have gotten in the car. If they're like, you have naked. To come to Albany and I'm going to put a blindfold on you, I'd be like, thank you for your time. I will find a new cult to
join. Sorry, master.
So sorry, master. Yeah. Oh, so
what
creepy.
About the readiness drills?
No.
Good morning, Becky. Ready, RM. Master. RM.
So creepy. No, I wouldn't do those. I like the self-help aspect. You know, all the cults start trying to help you. They're like, do you want to be more confident? And you're like, yeah, I do. Do you want to make decisions quicker? Yeah, I do. Do you want a community? I do. And then they're like, and then they're like, do you want to have sex with this guy? And I'm like, no,
I don't. The thing I just kept thinking was, what are the lengths that this guy will go to get women to have sex with him on a regular occasion? He had to start a whole cult with a whole company with all this like straight path and system just to do all this stuff. He had to make them his slaves.
Yeah.
Why couldn't he just like
disturbing.
Find a girlfriend?
I know.
He had many.
Yeah. Sometimes
he probably had regular
and
sex.
When he and Allison Mack met for the first time and it was recorded and she was like, I'm not only a hugger, I'm also a kisser. I was like, ew.
I loved Smallville. Speaking of like early 2000s, I loved Smallville. And then this came out and I was like, I can literally never watch Smallville again.
No.
You have ruined ever watching Smallville again.
I need to get hooked. I need to get hooked on shows. I can't do the keep going thing. Because if I don't like the first episode, you know, if I find myself looking at my phone while I'm watching a show, it's out.
Well, The Jinx is a fun watch, but it's worth it for the end.
Yeah. And if it helps, I did not watch The Jinx all the way through. I stopped at like episode 3. I kept falling asleep. And then Keith watched the last two.
and was like, you have to stay awake. You have to watch this. And I was like, no, it's kind of like boring.
I didn't and find then it I powered that boring. Through
and was like, holy shit.
But the end is worth it.
Just tell me what happened.
No.
I would never do that to you, Ariel.
Yeah, you have to watch it.
Just watch the last episode.
I almost like want to know what happens. Like, just give me like a hint.
Nope.
Then I get excited about it.
No, just know that when you watch it, you're going to come in the next day and you're going to be like, holy hell.
You're going to scream.
You're telling me that this
like older guy, he like says something.
We're not saying anything in the interview
because he's so boring.
Just power through.
Power through.
You're gonna love it.
Look up some like Durst family stuff. Except for don't look up anything because you'll get a spoiler.
So that was our fun question that we went off on. You guys remember to email us. We love these questions, especially these lighter questions. These are great. Yeah. Email us in. You can sit with us pod@gmail.com. And now we are moving on to Maggie with your tip of the week.
Your towel.
Give us that.
Which one should I do, Becky? I have two.
You ran them past Becky?
No, she didn't tell me.
I haven't told her. I haven't told her.
Okay, have them in your head and put them in your hands.
Okay.
Do this one.
Okay.
You didn't have them in your head and put them in your hands, did you? You just put up your hands.
I just said shiny ring.
Oh yeah, true. Those of you who don't have a dedicated tongue scratcher, it has changed my life.
Wait, a scraper?
Do you guys have a dedicated tongue scratcher?
We have a tongue scraper.
Why are you saying dedicated as if like you could just use any
other things? There's the Oral-B. Toothbrushes that have the tongue scraper on it, and that does not do due diligence. You got to start your day and end your day with a dedicated tongue scratch.
Is it gross?
It is so gross, but it's so satisfying, and once you start doing it, you'll never not do it ever again.
Okay, I have never used a tongue scraper ever.
Really?
Mostly because I'm a little bit scared of like pulling off taste bud?
No.
You can't do it. It's like a little like steel or like aluminum. It looks like a U, and you just go.
And then you rinse it off with water. But the stuff that comes out of that, like if you ever brush your teeth and like an hour later, you're like, my tongue still kind of feels nasty. Or like my mouth is still kind of stinky.
I've never thought to myself, my tongue feels nasty.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
My teeth feel nasty?
No, it's your tongue. It's where all the bacteria accumulate when you're asleep, and it multiplies and it forms some sort of yummy, delicious bacterial
buzz.
So after you're done brushing your teeth before bed and when you wake up, you got a tongue scratch. Well, not so much. You don't have to. Yeah, just do it twice.
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to do it.
Really?
Okay. I have to buy a tongue scratcher.
They're like $2 at the store, and you can use it for life.
Okay.
You don't have to replace them. There's some of them. There's like some plastic ones you can get from CVS that like kind of look like a mini hairbrush. Mm-hmm. Those ones are good, but you kind of have to keep replacing them. But like the actual like rod, you can like wash, and like it comes with like a cute little case.
Okay.
The stuff that comes off your tongue, your
I'm
mind
worried
will
it's
be...
going to be so gross.
So are you coming from like, you're
I'm not coming from
an anecdotal perspective, not from a medical
perspective. No, I'm not coming from a medical perspective. I've not checked the research on, so don't come back.
They make a lot of claims about the tongue
scratcher. I'm not making
it'll
claims.
It'll help you not get sick.
Because I've never had my dentist be like, girl, you need to get a tongue scraper.
It's just something I enjoy doing. I don't recommend it or saying any claims. It's just, it's really nice.
But the first time I ever got acupuncture, she asked to look at my tongue.
Stop it.
Yeah. I was like, let me see your tongue.
You've had acupuncture just cause.
I did it at NYU as part of cancer treatment, like as a therapy. And she made me show her my tongue. And I found it very embarrassing. I was like, what are you looking for?
I've had acupuncture too. Like? And the woman, and I was like, what exactly are you looking at? But she can tell like the swelling or if there's redness like on the base versus the sides. I don't know what they mean. I wanted to do a deeper dive, but I completely forgot. But it's like a thing.
Like your tongue, it's not one of those things that you like hide, but when somebody's actually looking.
Yeah, and you're like,
Eastern medicine says that it tells a lot about your health.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do want to talk more about Eastern medicine because I've done a little bit of research into like the Ayurvedic, you know, body types and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fascinating.
I wish they would talk to like Western and Eastern would talk into like talk to each other more because I don't think one can replace the other, but
totally
there was a way.
Yeah. Like they're both necessary for, for, you know, whole health.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What makes your mouth feel fresher? Minty toothpaste or a tongue scraper?
If I had to pick.
If you could only do one.
Well, like the minty toothpaste isn't really making your mouth fresher, but it feels nice. But apparently, like just the motion of you brush, you don't have to use toothpaste if you like forget your toothpaste when you're like on a trip or something. It's just like the mechanical motion of brushing your teeth, flossing your teeth, scraping your tongue is just as good, even though it doesn't feel like the minty flavors that they put in toothpaste is awesome.
They're so satisfying.
Anybody have a water pick?
Yeah, that should
get a water pick.
My
y'all.
Mom has one, and she thought that she didn't need to floss anymore. That's not true. That is not true.
Yeah,
it's
to do
adjunct. You're supposed to do both.
I have a permanent retainer, so flossing is super hard because things get stuck in the back, and you can't put floss all the way through. You would need to buy these. Yeah, they have these little like plastic things that you can thread, but like obviously, I'm not going to use them. The water pick is like they have different heads on them and you just shoot it in your mouth and you stand over this thing. You go, aww.
Yeah. But if you have a permanent retainer and your plaque is already kind of like hardened back there, water pick's not going to do jack.
What's it like when you go to the dentist and they try to clean in there?
It's a nightmare.
It really hurts.
Yeah.
You have one too?
I have two.
Who?
Maggie.
I have one in between my front two teeth and the bottom two teeth or the bottom row because I had a really stubborn gap growing up and I had braces. I even got my frenulum cut, which is like the little.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that.
I had it cut because mine was so long and they thought that was causing my gap. And they were like, I got my braces taken off and then all of a sudden it started opening. It had like a mind of its own.
Wow. So let's see your beautiful smile. Now.
I know. You're gorgeous.
So pretty.
You look great.
This is my beautiful smile. And thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to rate us 5 stars and email us any questions you may have to youcansitwithuspod@gmail.com. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.